You ain't free, not like you used to be. Big brother, he knows where you go, he knows where you've been. CCTV, satellites, and drones cruising the blue. They're out there and they're watching you, yeah.
So I just wanted to show up and pop in here for a minute. I don't usually do this. We just start the show, you know, in the format with the guests lately and all that. But this time, when we got together, Doug and I, with Dave Hodges of the CommonSenseShow.com, we immediately started talking about things I thought were really interesting and important, rather than eliminate that and say, okay, now we're going to start the official show, so that you would miss a lot, which I didn't want to happen. We're just going to cut in right in the middle of the informal conversation. We never actually started the show, you know, in our recording session. We just continued recording while we were just sitting around talking. And I thought you might enjoy that spontaneity anyway. Well, most of our shows are really spontaneous, but this one especially, we never got around to officially saying, okay, now we start. We just share with you the whole conversation that came up, and I think you'll find it super interesting and relevant. It's all about things that are happening now and the issues involved in that, and of course solutions, possible solutions. That's what is the reason for even looking at the bad stuff that's going on, which is emotionally hard enough for people to deal with. No point in going through that experience without the main intent of it being to find solutions. So now that you understand that, and the reason for us not having an official start, official, you know, regular start for this recording session, we're just going to jump right into the middle when we realized we wanted to share it with you. And I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, they're not happy with what I'm saying, and I'm going to hit some of it in detail like I never have. Here's what I got, and then, you know, I'll talk about whatever you want. But number one, the China thing is ramping up. I'm in communication with a senior federal law enforcement agent. I can't be more specific than that for his safety. The Chi-Coms are getting involved with Antifa and BLM in a very big way. So I'm on that. And then there's Chinese troops north of our border, and we don't even know how many. Well, one low-end estimate says 6,000. We're hearing as many as 70,000 from some sources. And I'm not the only one that has this. This is multi-source. The other thing that you might want to be interested in, I think I figured out why they unleashed COVID at this time. We're going through the fourth industrial revolution, which is AI. And I did an AI analysis in the last 3 days, and the more I research, the more I think I'm right. They want the old industrial model to go away. AI is going to predominate. It's also a way to bring down the United States without a war if they can't get the war they want, because the U.S. is only about sixth in AI development. South Korea's one, Malaysia's two, Germany, France, China, and then us. And the Germans are educating far and away the most AI college graduates out there. And AI is moving into military. And I think if we have a war, this is what we're going to see. The U.S. is launching in a few weeks a ship that's totally AI. It costs $15,000 a day to run. And if you take an aircraft carrier, that's over $1 million a day to run. So the cost savings is amazing. And you could be a small nation like South Korea, but you could build 20 million sentient robots and have a formidable army. So I think the balance of power is ready to shift. And I know you guys all agree with this statement. For the New World Order to come in, the United States and its constitution has to go away. And this is a good way to do it. And I think COVID, which locks down everything, takes away industrialization, takes away, basically a capitalist economy. And now they're replacing it with what's coming. And I think this is what they really mean by the Great Reset. I think digital currency is just one marker in what's coming. It's a small piece of it.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And you know, it's a brilliant setup. They needed to do something to really accelerate the takeover. And The virus is real, but it's not hurting people that much. It's not nearly as dangerous as people are being told. And it's also easily cured for the real cases. And that's all being censored completely.
Yes, there you go.
Right.
That's why they want to keep this going. And people like Pelosi know this. That's why she has no qualms about going out to get her hair done without a face mask in violation of the law.
Yeah, there's no danger.
She knows there's no danger.
Right.
You know, our governor here in Arizona did the same thing. The day after he told us, stay locked down, keep your mask on, don't go anywhere, no graduation parties, he is on Twitter being filmed being at a graduation party, not practicing social distancing with no mask.
Right. Well, you know, my vision of the show right now is a couple of things. The subjects that you mentioned to talk about are exactly what I was going to talk about with you. The two important sections are A, understanding what's happening, and B, being creative enough to see potential responses. You know, if you don't have any solutions or responses, there's no point in going through all the bad stuff that's going on.
And well, my solution's real simple. People need to stand up and say, we will not comply.
Exactly.
And it's a simple solution.
Everybody feels like they're too scared and they don't want to be the first one. And so if nobody's the first one, no one ends up doing it.
Well, the policing is getting increasingly brutal, and they're beta testing a lot of what's coming here. I said 6 weeks ago that New Zealand and Australia's confinement of people exposed to COVID, believed to be exposed to COVID, I said that's coming here. And today, Ohio's governor made that proclamation. He can isolate you on his own say-so.
We're all investigators, and you know, I've been doing this for many, many decades. And I was coming from a health perspective first, because the real health information is being violently suppressed in this country and most of the world.
Australia is also bringing in brutal policing in support of what you're saying.
Yeah,
I mean, the way they treated that pregnant woman that's on tape.
And
about a month ago, I saw a tape where they pounced on a 60-year-old woman who was frail, didn't give her a chance to put her mask on. They just attacked her physically.
Well, they're doing that to some people who are already wearing masks, too.
Yeah.
So, but what I was going to say, and it'll be self-evident by now when people are listening, we're just getting, this is just a informal meeting on Skype or Zoom, and we're just talking about, it's a brainstorming session, and we're talking about clarifying, which we will do, start officially in a minute, and we're just going to talk about A, what's happening, and B, the elements of standing up and not complying. And that's basically what Gandhi's strategy was for India, you know, to get free of the British at the time. Be willing to be beat up as you go collect salt at the ocean. And eventually they just get tired of having to beat up everybody and they give up. So anyway, my general feeling about what was happening was what I quickly just told you that I think you agreed with. And what's going on now is they think that the public has been conditioned for so long that they can be confronted with completely illogical new so-called news reports and education and entertainment and things like that. And they don't process it at all anymore. They just say, what are the orders? What do I do? And the authorities are thinking that's as far as our thought process will go.
Well, they think they have us programmed through that process called groupthink. And groupthink, the protective mechanism, the shields, if you will, is cognitive dissonance. So anything that comes along and questions the worldview automatically gets rejected. I mean, Bezmenov talked about this when he talked about how the Soviets said they were going to take us over psychologically and from within. Bezmenov said, you could take people at this point to the concentration camps in Russia and they won't believe it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what has, we're near the ending stages. And the only thing is now, do we have to have the same end that they had in other cases, or can we do something new? New being, you know, don't become total zombies and fall into it. Can we wake up before the slaughterhouse scene?
Well, the Bible says in the end days, the sins of the leaders will be revealed. And so this is why we need to keep doing what we're doing, because if people open their heart to Jesus, you know, I believe all things will be revealed. It will bypass these implanted protective psychological mechanisms, and people can come to different conclusions than what they've been led to falsely believe.
Well, right now, it's an interesting combination because things are being revealed, and it's like they think that we're too far gone to even care. And so, you know, CDC, for example, said, oh, sorry about the 95% error in reporting the deaths, that it's actually people are dying of everything else. And they're saying that they're not too worried about exposing everything because they think that nobody's really going to notice what that means, apparently.
I think the CDC, and I know what you're talking about, but they walked back that comment the next day. The CDC, I think they're worried, and I've seen this with Redfield, the director. He's really kind of done a 180 now. The CDC, I think, is worried about legal action if Trump is reelected.
That's probably right, but it's not like they have a conscience or anything. It's just a strategic concern.
It's a strategic retreat in case Trump is elected and they're worried about being sued or even prosecuted.
Well, let's look at that, too, for a minute, because it's assumed that Trump, who probably, in my opinion, Trump probably won the popular vote in 2016, about 4-1.
Yeah.
And what they did is they owned a lot of nefarious interests owned the voting machines. And there were many instances where people saw the votes being flipped away from Trump, you know, automatically from the outside. I think this time they're much more focused on turning that around, but they assume that Trump is going to, by a normal election, win in a huge landslide, maybe unprecedented. But the strategy is 80 million mail-in ballots, and Facebook just announced that they won't publicize any declaration of victory by Trump, and that they're going to shut that down and wait till all the mail-in ballots are in, and that'll show that Trump lost. What do you think about that?
Treason.
Yeah, but it could happen, right?
Oh, could it happen? Yeah, certainly it can happen. But what I'm saying is, when you announce ahead of time, and they're on the record to say this, Nancy Pelosi told Biden, and so did Hillary Clinton, do not concede under any circumstances. Well, any circumstances could include a fair and honest election in which Biden loses.
Of course.
But they're saying don't concede. So what they're saying is they're not going to follow the rule of law. This is insurrection.
Exactly, but my point was that they're now openly saying that stuff.
Yes.
And not really worried about hiding it anymore. And
well,
so
if you knew what was coming to Portland, you would not be surprised. You're much closer. Let's put it this way. The revelation that we will not concede under any circumstances pales in comparison to what we're going to see in the near future.
Do you want to just leave that for suspense, or do you want to say anything more about it?
Okay, I have a pamphlet that tells Antifa to dress up in MAGA gear and engage in extreme violence, and you can be the judge of what that means. But
yeah, but, I expect that.
That's coming, they believe, this weekend. I know that DHS and ATF have been dispatched in force, and I understand military units are on standby. What I'm telling you comes from inside the government, so the government is obviously fully aware of what I'm going to say.
Right.
The other thing I'm going to tell you is a story hit the headlines about Canada and the CHICOM military, and I think I'm going to credit Sarah Westall for interviewing Kevin Annett. Mm-hmm. That really was the first widespread revelation that Trudeau is sponsoring Chinese on native land in British Columbia. The CHICOMs control the largest port in British Columbia now, just like they did Long Beach for years until Trump stopped it, where they're importing soldiers and so forth. Now, the thinking, the debate has been this. Are these soldiers that are going to engage in a Red Dawn invasion coming across our northern border, perhaps in support of what's coming on the southern border, or are these infiltrators? And the thinking right now is this, is that for the time being, many of these soldiers are bringing material support, in other words, weapons and weapon devices to Antifa and Black Lives Matter, but they're also going to infiltrate their ranks. And I'll tell you why I think this is true. If you go to Ecuador, and I had extensive communication with expats in Ecuador, the expats from America, they even sent me embassy notifications that said, stay in your home, we're close to a civil war. And what ended up happening was the mines of Ecuador were being turned over to the Chaicoms, and the local indigenous populations were being displaced and losing jobs, and people were literally in the streets. Well, they put down these protests violently, but the Chinese infiltrated the police departments in Ecuador. I believe we're not going to see Chinese infiltration into our police departments, but we're going to see their infiltration into these radical leftist groups and the, let's say, the organization of these groups, the militarization of these groups. And by the way, I have a DHS memo that says the militarization of Antifa is going to a new level. But I think the Chaicoms are going to exert that kind of military influence on these subversive groups, and we're going to see greatly increased and enhanced and organized violence against innocent Americans.
That makes sense. I mean, they've already made the transition to using more firearms with those groups now. And remember, before they were using mostly bricks and stones that were provided for them and things like that. Now it's more and more firearms. So you can imagine that the next step would be organization. And also, you know, for efficiency, a real invasion from either border would require much higher numbers than for infiltration. Because for infiltration, the army's preset. It's already here in the form of those terrorist groups in the cities.
Well, if you're talking about the embeds, I agree. In fact, even Comey, and probably the only honest comment that man ever made when he was FBI director, he said on July 4th of 2016, there are ISIS terror cells in all 50 states.
Right, right.
And of course, we know Hamas and Hezbollah and ISIS now, they're in bed with the cartels. The cartels are largely controlled by the Chaicoms. That's no secret. It's something I've been reporting on now for a couple of years. And they do have a terrorist network. It's my contention that what's going to end up happening is you're going to have widespread violence, and then you're going to have what I call a Tet Offensive. On one day, I think we're going to see unbelievable acts of tyranny, and I don't know how far they're going to carry it, but you're going to see this on one day. It'll be their version of the Tet Offensive, and this is when MS-13 does the assassinations. This is when the cartels begin to murder people on the streets, presumably mostly white people. And by the way, Paul Preston from Agenda 21 Radio and the president of the New California Movement has sources that were in these CalExit movements who've told him they plan to murder massive amounts of white people in furtherance of their CalExit goal to force their release from the United States, and California becomes a protectorate of the United Nations. This is actually on their ballot initiative for this November to vote on this. It's totally illegal. Even if it passes, it's totally unconstitutional. So we're going to see an upheaval across the board in this country. Then, when America is sufficiently weakened, is when I expect to see the Red Dawn component brought into play. And I'm not convinced the Red Dawn invasion will be the end-all, be-all to conquer and occupy America. I think it's a further destabilization move. That's my belief, setting us up to lose World War III.
Also, just so that people understand, if you want to differentiate between the CalExit program and the New California program, because they're quite different.
Okay, New California is the constitutional movement based on Article 4, Section 2, that California will divide into two, and that each county is in charge of its own destiny, and they can sign on to the New California movement. And if you get the legislation passed through the House, the Senate, and signed by the president, then California will be the 51st state. And obviously, if Trump is reelected and the Republicans can gain control of the House of Representatives and maintain the Senate, they would like that, because now you'd have two Republican senators to oppose the two Democratic senators of the old California, and then you'd have more Republican congressmen, and that would change the balance of power against the Democrats. So the Trump administration is fully in support of this, and I know for a fact that Paul Preston talks to administration officials on a regular basis, because they're in full support of this venture. If we have a revolution in this country, let's say it goes civil war, I just want to make this really clear. Everyone talks about Michigan and New York. It's California. California will be the epicenter of the rebellion. The governor has an army. They've changed their name, but it used to be called the California State Military Reserve. Totally unconstitutional, totally illegal. Jerry Brown started it. They have their own army. They took down about, 8 months ago, ham and shortwave communications on top of mountains. So in other words, if they start their military actions in California and allegedly with the support of the UN or the CHICOMs and their allies, then they basically have paralyzed and immobilized law enforcement in more rural areas that might mount the defense. That's why they took down those communications. California is where it's going to start. You can take that to the bank.
Well, I mean, it's kind of already started there, right?
In small ways. In very, very small ways. Gavin Newsom is a hop, skip, and a jump from being taken out of office. He has, and I've been tracking this with Paul Preston for some time now. He's misspent money. He tried to get a $1 trillion loan for the Bank of China, and they wouldn't do it, presumably because they don't know if he's going to stay in power. Mm-hmm. He's in real trouble. And if you believe, as I do, that these fires in Northern California are being set on purpose, sure, it serves the purpose of Gavin Newsom because it gives him operating federal disaster money to keep his state afloat. Now, individual counties today, and this is a breaking story that Paul Preston did on his radio show this morning, mm-hmm, but individual counties are being investigated by the DOJ right now in California for not spending disaster money properly. Okay, the next step is Newsom. You go one step higher on that pyramid, Newsom, and this, he needs the money to keep California afloat. He can't support CalPERS or any of their retirement funds on what he's done with the money, so he needs federal disaster money. So set the fires, spend the money illegitimately. The federal government comes in and investigates the counties, builds a case, and builds up to Newsom. Newsom is a hop, skip, and a jump from being taken out of office. I'll tell you, the situation in California is so volatile right now, right, that we could see the beginning of a civil war right there in California, but I couldn't accurately predict what's going to be the catalyst because there's so many.
Right, and Paul Preston has demonstrated that there's a lot of support that is not in line with Newsom as well, right? California is not only 40 million crazy people. There's a lot of them who are a lot better grounded than what's happening.
54 of the 58 counties have signed on to New California.
Wow.
The population split, though, is about even. It's about 20 million both ways.
Because most people are in three metropolitan areas, I guess.
Sacramento, San Francisco, and L.A.
Yeah, exactly. L.A., San Diego being basically merged at this point.
Well, San Diego is trying to remain independent of L.A., and Orange County is a real good buffer because Orange County is staunchly Republican, and they've been the victim of a lot of Newsom abuse as well. But from Orange County to San Diego has a strong Democratic influence, but they're not on board with Newsom because they have people that want to go to work. They want to have their jobs.
Yeah.
They don't want to be homeless, and they see what's happening in L.A. So San Diego is rejecting Newsom.
See, I think there's two things that people need to understand in order to break that whole cycle of, you know, the destruction of the American and world economy. And one is that the danger from the so-called virus is not anywhere near what's being promoted. But the other one that may even be more important is that if you believe in unalienable rights that are guaranteed and referred to in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and founding documents, they use the word unalienable. They don't say unless there's an emergency. They don't say unless it's over 1% death rate. It could be 90% death rate. And if the rights are really unalienable, they can't shut the economy down by decree. Right? And Americans have kind of
forgotten. Yeah, I agree. There's no pandemic exception to the Constitution.
Yeah, or any other emergency.
I totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree with you. But and you're right on the first thing that you said about the lengths they're going to promote the crisis that isn't really a crisis. And here's some supporting information that goes along to really stand in alliance with what you're saying. On April 18th, in a letter, So this is in writing, and I've published it on my website at thecommonsenseshow.com. Director Hahn of the CDC, the FDA, the FDA, okay. He published a directive and said, we're not going to require the testing companies to validate the accuracy of their tests because we're in an emergency situation, and we need to get started testing right away. Okay, well, you're looking right now at someone who is a professor. I've written research and stat classes. I've taught it at the university level, the post-grad level. And I can tell you right now, if you don't validate your tests, all the numbers that they're appearing, we've had this many new outbreaks. You don't know if that's accurate. You don't have a test if you don't have accurate, refined data with measures of reliability, both internal and external, and cross-validity. And if you don't have margin of errors in your testing, and you don't do a conglomerate comparison between the tests, and say, this test is this accurate, this test is this accurate, and across the board, this is how accurate we can be as a nation. They haven't ever published those numbers because they don't exist. So therefore, when your local newscasters say, today in Arizona, there's 507 new cases of coronavirus, bull crap. They don't know that.
No, there's actually no test for the actual virus they're talking about. And
there's not.
What they're using is a PCR test. And the inventor of it said, never use this to diagnose anything. Right. Mm-hmm. That's one little problem. And I don't think that the population understands the magnitude of the fraud. If there's no test for the actual virus, then the whole thing doesn't exist. Even if the virus is real, they don't have any idea of the magnitude of it.
Well, this explains the lockdowns, the scenarios that are irrelevant. You can you can't go to the gym and you can't go to church, but you can go gamble in a casino and not wear a face mask.
Yeah.
And this is why you see the people, the leaders know this is nonsense. They know it is. They show it in their personal habits, like Nancy Pelosi's hairdo or Ducey going to a grad party. But the thing is that I think people need to realize there's a bigger picture here, and I alluded to it when we first started. And the bigger picture is this is a forced change being led by the people from Davos in the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. They are introducing the fourth industrial revolution and ending the third. And I don't think anyone can argue that, well, first of all, the BDI index, the one that measures, you know, trade among nations, it's the lowest it's ever been. I mean, it's practically, there's no trade going on.
Yeah.
And what we have right now, the wheels have come off the global economy entirely.
Right.
And Americans, because they look outside and see cars on the road and they can go dine out outside patios or whatever, they think life is normal. The NBA is back on TV now. Life is normal. It's not normal. Half of the working adults in this country who could be working are not working. About 60% of small businesses have failed. 25% more are expected to fail this fall and winter. I mean, it's not normal. And let me bring this into what I'm talking about here. You're looking at a complete destruction of the information age and any form remnants of industrialization, manufacturing. This is what's appearing right now. So what's going to replace it? And as I said when we started, it's going to be AI. They don't want a gradual phase-in. When you looked at the American Second Industrial Revolution, people gradually, over about a two-generation period, left the farms to go to the cities, and the flip went from 90% rural to 90% urban. Mm-hmm. But that took about 40 years. They don't want to wait 40 years. They don't want to wait 40 days. And the wheels have come off this economy. It came off in under 60 days. And then the second thing, okay, so what are they going to put into it? It's AI, AI, AI. And this is exactly what we're seeing. And let's project this out as Christians. When I was at Steve Quayle's conference and I had a role on a panel, I watched some tremendous presentations by Derek Gilbert, Sharon Gilbert, and they talked about introducing the age of transhumanism. Mm-hmm. Okay, eventually AI is going to not just be manufactured, it'll be doing the manufacturing, and humans can't keep up. So what will humans do who are in charge? This is the push towards transhumanism. It'll be the melding of man and machine. And since the Satanists, and this is who these people are, since they can't crack the code of the soul, which was their original goal, they can try to destroy the human being to this process of transhumanism. Yeah. And I think this is ultimately where this is going. And this is why we have to see, in their mind, a 90% reduction in human population. You'll have a small servant class, and the elite will live almost lives of immortality if they get their way, because they'll basically have man-machine interface that'll keep them alive.
Yeah. Yeah, we've come to almost the same conclusion. I think that that's going to happen, well, unless it gets turned back. But I think that there's another step. And what looks like to me is happening is that they're doing a ceremonial sacrifice of the entire biosphere, and that they intend to exterminate life here, including themselves, and merge into cyberspace and live with their dark power forever. I don't think that's going to happen, but I really think they believe that. And if they were planning to hang around in any form that needed physical sustenance, they wouldn't be destroying the life support systems of the planet. But I guess we'll see what happens. The direction is no question.
I think what you're saying is very possible. I think what you're saying has legs.
I don't hear it much, Dave. It sounds like the Georgia Guidestone idea and the 90% reduction and all that is talked about quite a bit. But when I just look at it logically and what these guys believe, and at the top, you know, there's a non-human and a human level at the top. And I think what they believe, and they don't tell their servants much because it would really hurt morale, is that everybody's terminated for elimination, targeted for that. Mm-hmm. Including themselves. I think that they say, well, if we do this sacrifice by the numbers, because clearly they could do it quickly if they wanted to. They've got the technology. And they're not killing everything instantly. I think they're doing it carefully, step by step, with notices and milestones. And if they think that if they're doing it exactly right, that they'll get all this spiritual benefit and they'll be able to reach the satanic goal, which is unity with that power.
I think it's possible this could be the doomsday plan.
Yeah.
I think there's other... Well, okay, first of all, let's talk about what we know about the globalist mindset. They don't ever go and say, okay, we're going to do plan A, and if plan A fails, we'll do plan B. Mm-hmm. They come at a goal from multiple angles at the same time.
Right.
And then they have contingencies upon contingencies for their different plans. And I think what you're talking about here, and it makes a great deal of sense based on what I've learned, but I think it more likely be the end game. They may want to stay here and rule as the supreme beings in this transhumanist age with only a few dumbed down humans as a servant class. Mm-hmm. But I do think if that doesn't work out for them, what you're saying is possible. But let me tell you what else I know. My dad, to just make a long story short, he was early retired from the Navy by 6 months, got full pension, and was put to work working with German scientists, theoretical physics, backwards engineering that, trying to put it into the laboratory to develop what the Germans were working on. And my dad revealed this to me in the last 2 years of his life when he was terminal, and I had to keep it quiet until my mom's passing because he was clearly in violation of his national security oath, and she would have lost his pensions. So I wasn't ever free to speak about this publicly, and I only came out hesitatingly because I didn't know if it'd get me killed. So I kind of like dipped my toe in the water and so forth. So, but what I learned was from my father, he was convinced there was a secret space program. He said, we're developing things that should have been to NASA 20 years ago, and it's not. And he said, so we have to have a secret space program. Well, I have a friend that I've had since I was 4 years old, and I'm not going to be real specific, but his dad and my father worked on putting, their last Navy mission was to put nukes on the ships of the Navy, starting with the carrier Roosevelt. My dad was in charge of rewiring the Combat Information Center. And his son, his colleague's son and I are the same age, and we hung out together, know each other well. Well, he's talking to me recently about a second secret space force. Trump took one of the two and turned it public so they could get congressional funding, and now I know why he did it. There's a second one out there being run by the CIA, Mossad, and other globalist interests, and they're in support of these evil people, like the ones at Davos, Bill Gates, and so forth. They're in support of them, and these two entities work against each other. Once it was totally in secret. I've been invited to conferences as far back as 1997 with people like Edgar Mitchell and other astronauts who are alive, so I'm not going to mention mention their names, but also with military personnel. We had to sign non-disclosure agreements, and then we told what we knew. And this is where I really opened up about what I knew about my dad's work. And what I learned then was about the secret space program and what the ultimate goal was, which was a transhumanist age, like what I'm talking about. Yeah. But let me tell you what's now surfaced. You've got these two competing entities, the public space force. NASA is really a non-entity. So then you got the secret space force, and they're in competition for control of asteroids. And AI is going to be mining the asteroids. Those who control AI will bring unbelievable riches to this planet. We'll see the world's first quadrillionaire come out as a result of AI mining. Now, this is going to sound bizarre, but I'm going to repeat to you exactly what this person in the space force told me. He said, "We have technology you can't even imagine." Yeah. And he says, "I don't dare speak the name," but he says, "I can tell you one thing that I can get away with saying. We can control the movement of asteroids." And he said, "There are asteroids being embedded right now." And we said, "We're not sure if the other side is going to use this for mining purposes," which is possible. And this is the race, you know, Elon Musk, SpaceX, get to space. Mm-hmm. It's all connected to what I'm telling you. And he said, "But the other thing they could be doing was using asteroids as a weapon." And kind of like the gods of Rod from 2015 that was brought down on China, asteroids of predetermined size, maybe not an extinction level event, but something that can take out a metropolitan area, could be brought down. He said, "We don't know what they're planning to do." And he said, "The real war, the real third world war, will start in space." And I asked him about the transhumanism thing, and he says, yes. He said, "We used to think this was ridiculous and only the NSA believed in it." But he said, "Now," he said, "we think this is a real possibility too, that this is ultimately where this is going."
Right. It totally makes sense to me. So with that kind of vision of some time in the future in mind, how does it fit in right now with the mind control is being used, like, for example, making everybody terrified that if they don't wear a mask, they're going to die and things like that?
Well, I think it's part of the destabilization of America, bring America down and have us be willing zombies going to our death. And the other side will profit on our demise. I think that's what this is about. It's all about taking down this country. Remember, to have a new world order, you cannot have a United States in its present format, either economically or with its civil liberties.
Right.
So I think that this is the attack upon civil liberties. And if you remember with the Jews in the concentration camps, and I've often said in my rational mind, not having been captive for years, but I used to wonder, I thought, you know, if I knew I was being taken to the showers, mm-hmm. I'm going to try to attack a German guard and kill as many of them as I possibly can. I'm not willingly going to my death. I'm going to fight.
Sure.
But we know that many of these Jewish people did not resist. Most of them just went willingly to their death, knowing full well they weren't coming out. And it was a form of programming over a long period of time. And some people say the fluoride was introduced to induce that passivity. Perhaps that's true. I'm not sure. Yeah. But I will tell you this. I see the same passivity in the United States citizen today that we know that happened to the Jews in the death camps.
Yeah, I get the feeling that they think it's unpleasant to resist it.
Yeah, I agree. But see, they got the Jews to willingly walk to their death, the majority of them, and I think they're doing the same thing with us. And the mask is simply the symbol of compliance for doing this.
I can imagine at the upper levels, not the very top, but upper levels, have a sense of humor and are saying, "Hey, do you think, George, that we'd be able to get them to voluntarily cut off their own air supply out of fear?" And Bill says, "No, forget it. Nobody would ever do that." And they bet $5 whether it could be done or not. So somebody just won. They're all cutting off their own air supply. And it's been shown with meters that the oxygen level behind the mask is lower than OSHA minimums for what you have to breathe in a workplace.
That's true, yeah. You get hypoxia is a real, real danger.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, everybody has that sensitivity, and that's a health condition, I would say. And there are exemptions written into every one of these proclamations that if it would affect your health, you don't have to do it. And I guess almost.
Well, the way they're getting around that now is the businesses are saying, "Well, we don't care what your exemption is. We're not going to let you put our customers at risk, so get out of our establishment."
Exactly. You can't. Yeah. You just can't use any businesses or shop anywhere or go, you know, anything.
Mark of the beast kind of material.
Yeah, but it's totally voluntary. You just can't do anything without it.
Yeah, that's true. And this is why I preach to people food, water, guns, gold, ammo, medicine, and tools, mm-hmm. because you need to get outside the system as much as possible. The more you're in the system, the more you can be controlled.
Yeah, absolutely right. And they happen to have most people living in densely packed cities right now, which are difficult survival areas. What about the significance of what's happening in Australia right now that's coming out in the news?
Well, I've been saying this now for a few months. New Zealand and Australia are beta testing what's coming here. Mm-hmm. And the ability, as I mentioned earlier, when New Zealand, where the prime minister announced, we're not just going to take people who have COVID to isolation areas. We're going to take anyone who we suspect have been exposed. In other words, this is a blank check to arrest anybody you want. It could be totally for nefarious political purposes, but we'll just call it, we think you're exposed to COVID. Well, the Ohio governor today basically said he's going to do the same thing.
Wow. So if you cough or sneeze in public, you've had it, basically, if anybody sees.
It's funny you'd say it that way. In 2014, I came across a document that Celeste Solomon and I have been talking about. It's uh-huh. called ESF number 8. And it originated with Human Health Services, with the UN as a consultant. And they set up what I ended up labeling FEMA medical martial law camps. And they were basing the ability for the government to seize people involuntarily mm-hmm. and remove them to a remote location under unspecified conditions. And they said that we're using these two executive orders as the legal justification for doing so. And it was a George Bush executive order, and then it was more detailed and expanded on by Obama. And effectively, if you heard me go, achoo, or yeah, that would be enough to get me confined. Now we know with contact tracing, they can say, well, you were in the building same time as this person, so we're taking you too. Now, right. Here's the thing about these camps, and this is where the people who are watching this broadcast need to lean forward and listen to every word I'm going to tell you. I went through the 17 organizations that HHS brought in to say they were going to set this up. They were all administrative or law enforcement agencies, from the State Department to FEMA to DHS. The closest they got to a medical organization was the Red Cross, but the Red Cross doesn't treat. It merely transports materials like food and medicine. Mm-hmm. They had nothing in the way of medical treatment at these facilities on these 17 groups that were going to monitor and maintain these camps. Now, then I got teamed up with Celeste Solom, former FEMA official, and Steve Quayle put us together, and we've had a field day comparing notes in our interviews, and she is in total agreement with what I'm saying. Yeah. These are extermination camps with the excuse being medicine, and they can target political enemies and remove them under the COVID facade.
Yeah, especially if they cough or something like that.
But they don't even have to cough.
I guess now, they could be suspected of sometime having coughed, right?
Well, let me tell you how bad it is in New Zealand. I've had people send me videotapes of the Prime Minister there, Ardern, who's setting this up. They have now, by law, all businesses in New Zealand must have a QR code on the entrance. So when you come in, you're required to scan your phone. Now, here's what's interesting.
Wow.
They know what time you came in. They know what day you came in, and they know who the phone belongs to. What they don't know is when you leave, because you're not required to scan when you leave. So let me just give you an example about how open-ended they want to make this persecution, which isn't medical. It's really designed for political. Mm-hmm. I go into the store at 8 a.m. I take my cell phone. I scan it on the QR code. Okay, then the next person comes in, and they scan it at noon. Okay. Now, how long was I in the store? I'm COVID positive. You come in at noon. There's no proof that I left in 4 hours. So therefore, everyone who's there that day following my 8 a.m. presence in that store and I'm discovered to be COVID positive, you can go away, even though you may not have even shared the same space at the same time.
Right. And now they're discovering people are COVID positive that weren't even tested. If they get in line and they give their name and information.
What does it say? What does it say when you have to have a test to know if you've had something? How bad is the pandemic?
When they block the freeway like in Hawaii now in the tunnels, and they stop people, and there's no escape without being tested.
Yes.
It seems like that's the strategy they're going toward.
Well, I don't want to toot my own horn, but back in 2009, you remember H1N1, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in Colorado, and I had two friends. One I went to elementary school with, stayed in contact with his family, and the other one, he and I played sports together in high school, and they both contacted me differently. They probably know who each other was, but I never brought each other up, but they contacted me individually, and they said, Dave, we need to tell you essentially what looks like a drunk driving drill, but it's not. And in 2009, DHS, which was a much more rogue organization then under Obama than it is now, it's really come a long way because they recruited vets from Iraq, and they kind of changed the flavor of that organization. But long story short, they set up these checkpoints. And here's where it gets really weird. And this was like predictive programming in a way. You'd pull up, and you couldn't run. Because if you turned around the median, they had the chase cars that would run you down. Mm-hmm. And it was all a mock drill, and they hired all crisis actors. So no one was really being investigated. But the person would come up and just say, I need to see your arms, please. And they took this device, a little bigger than this, and would scan the arm where you might have an injection. Uh-huh. And they say, well, I see you and your family have not had the vaccination. But we can take care of that right here if you'll step over into our tent. We'll go ahead and get you taken care of, and you can be on your way. Exactly. If you refused, they actually had three buses there. And they said, well, if you refuse, sir, you're going on that bus. Your wife is going on the middle bus, and your kids are going on the third bus. Uh-huh. And they said, you may never see him again. Now, what they had, this was a biometric scanner. What are we being told right now about the vaccine? They're going to be able to scan you to tell if you had it. I'm telling you, they practiced this outside Trinidad, Colorado in 2009 on Interstate 25. They did, and this was January of 2009. In February, they did it outside Grand Junction, Colorado on I-70. And I got two eyewitnesses who were there that called me independently of each other and said, Dave, this is what's going on. And so when you talk about what they're doing in Hawaii, I'm not surprised. I said this was coming. Now, the H1N1 fell apart. Because when they started coming up with vaccines, the squalene and all the bad adjuvants got exposed. And so the country ran from this, and even the media couldn't cover it up.
Well, but partly because only the people getting the vaccine were dying. The others were okay.
Exactly. And we're going to see the same thing here.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
You know, they've skipped animal testing in the vaccine.
Yeah. Well, what's the point? They don't want it to be safe. I mean, if they wanted it to be safe, they might do that.
And okay, when I used to teach research at the university level, we would use medical modeling many times as our model. And I'm talking old medical modeling, going back to 80s and 90s research. Yeah. And it would take 5 to 10 years to bring something like this to market. You would have initial laboratory tests, and then you would have the animal tests, and then you'd revise and come back and repeat that first two phases. And then if you had success, then you would seek out human volunteers, okay? And you'd go through that phase, and you'd look at side effects and so forth and so on. And that process was so laborious, it would take 5 to 10 years. And now they're saying we can do it in 5 months. And listen, I don't necessarily blame President Trump for saying, oh, isn't this good? Warp speed, 5 months. Yeah. Look at what we've done. Right. He should be saying, what the heck? 5 months? How can you do that? But well, he's not a man of science. And no. I don't think anyone around him is advising him on true procedures of how to bring to market a safe vaccine.
Yeah, the reason they want him dead is not because he knows everything correctly. It's because of his attitude. He actually wants to, with what he does know, he's trying to help the country. And he's got a lot of areas of huge ignorance like that. But if you look at the vaccines, you know, back to 1796 when they started in the UK with Jenner, they were killing people then, and they didn't even have adjuvants. It's much worse now. And I think even in the 80s, like you were referring to, when the tests were more, you know, according to form, they were killing so many people then that they got Reagan to say, well, they came and told Reagan in Congress that, you know, everybody's dying from the vaccines. We're going to have to not give people these wonderful vaccines if we have liability. So they brilliantly decided, well, that's not a problem. Just nobody can sue you. Just go ahead, you know. I think they're all tested personally, and I think they know they're going to kill people, and that's what they're tested for.
I think you're absolutely right. There's a loophole there if we'd stand up and take action. And you asked earlier about solutions.
Yeah.
One of the things that needs to happen is this immunity needs to be challenged on the basis of the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment guarantees that you and I are treated the same under the law. Mm-hmm. So if they can be excused for their bad acts on a vaccine, mm-hmm. then we shouldn't be prosecuted for our bad act of refusing a mandated vaccine. And the That's two are joined at the hip. And I think there's a 14th Amendment argument there. You can't give qualified immunity to one group in the same problem and not give it to another. And that really concerns me. The other thing that really concerns me is goes beyond taking legal action. It's just taking personal action. But see, the other side is anticipating this. And I'm going to use the Australian pregnant woman as an excuse. Yeah. When they came into her apartment, okay, they didn't arrest her for anything she did. She put a post on Facebook that says, hey, I think this social distancing nonsense is a bunch of crap, and we need to have a social distancing free day. Okay, and she was just musing. And they came in with not just arresting officers, but a whole forensic team to seize every bit of electronics in her apartment, including her boyfriend's cell phone. And they made a big deal about it, and they let them film this entire thing, knowing it would go out. And I think this was an intimidation move mm-hmm. to tell everyone else resistance is futile. You may not even talk against this process or we'll take you down.
Yeah, I think that's completely right. And they're getting more subtle with the enforcement by doing things like that. And then with the vaccines, you know, and like you said, Trump doesn't have in-depth knowledge about this and other fields like it. And he's saying, well, it won't, don't worry, it won't be mandatory. He means that at the federal level. But that's not the danger. It's local and county and state health departments. And then the state governments will, in most cases, go along with the orders of the health department, saying that you have to do this, and they've already agreed to, you know, model, what is it called? Model States Emergency Powers Acts and things like that.
Well, here's how they got the locals to get on board with this. The federal government incentivized fraud, and I'm talking about the CV-19 strategy team with Fauci and Birx and so forth. Mm-hmm. They set into motion policies that went into play, and I think totally illegal. This should have been an act of Congress because there's monetary expenditures, and they didn't do this. I think this is totally unconstitutional. But what they did was they incentivized diagnosing COVID-19. For each diagnosis, they paid X amount of dollars. For each fatality, they paid triple the original diagnosis. So here you have an economy that's in shambles. Governors and mayors are concerned. So even if they're not part of the conspiracy to bring America down like Mayor Ted Wheeler of Portland is, even if they're not in that mindset, they're looking ahead to the next fiscal year. How are we going to stay afloat and get reelected if we can't even service our roads? So therefore, we need to incentivize this fraud. And we tell people, we don't care if it's a gunshot wound to the head. If you stick a needle in his arm and that's COVID, that's what it is. That's what he died from. Nothing else matters.
Right. And it helps when you're testing for a genetic sequence that everybody has.
Exactly. Like the common cold, too. That shows up as COVID.
And if you need to kill the patient, you can always use a ventilator. They seem to work really well.
Or put someone 65 and older in a home with other COVID people.
Yeah, because even if they have a regular cold, it'll cause incredible damage.
Well, so what we're talking about right now, and I want to make sure people understand the phases. We're talking about killing off society and its institutions and its economy in the present phase to usher in something new. Mm-hmm. And all the things we're talking about are the holes in their plan that we are exposing in the alternative media. But unfortunately, our voices are silenced. I was demonetized on YouTube, mm-hmm. and they won't tell me why. And I was thought to have a pretty clean channel. I take more of my controversial stuff to my TV show, and there we just let it fly with no censorship. So I looked at that and I just said, okay, they're keeping us quiet. And look what they did with the frontline doctors, highly trained doctors who are qualified to speak. I'm not qualified to speak on a medical issue. I can speak to research and stat and what I've read in a medical journal, mm-hmm. but I'm not qualified to give you a medical opinion. But these people were qualified, more than qualified, and they come out and they say, hey, this is not true, this is not true, and this is what we see, and this is also true. And what happens? Google goes to the website owners where they had their websites. You take it down, or we're gonna put you out of business too. So they lost their websites. They lost their social media platforms. Right. They got fired from their jobs. You'll never get another managed care contract ever if you don't fire this doctor.
Right.
And so they went after him. And it tells you this. Why would they worry about censoring highly trained medical professionals if they weren't telling the truth? If they were being ridiculous, the lies or the misinformation would be exposed. They'd be laughed at and ridiculed.
Right.
But the only reason that you censor is because you're telling the truth.
Yeah, it's a seal of approval, basically, that they agree
yes.
that it's valuable.
Exactly.
Yeah, because there's really no need for anything beyond simple, mostly natural remedies for the whole thing, right?
Yeah, and that's another thing. That's going to be the next thing that goes in this new AI fourth industrial revolution. They've had trouble. They've done it some in the European Union, but I'm talking about something called Codex Alimentarius.
Mm-hmm.
And it first came in under NAFTA, and they were too much of chickens to go ahead and try to do this. But it's the plan to put all of natural health care under the umbrella of Big Pharma. They've done that a little bit in the European Union, like in Germany. You used to be able to buy over-the-counter vitamin C, and this is going back about 20 years. Mm-hmm. But you could buy that for about $15 a bottle. Now you have to go to a doctor, get a prescription, and the whole thing's going to cost you about $100.
Right, and they're really small doses, too.
Exactly.
It used to be available there in 1,000 milligram tablets. And
well, the other thing, I had a lady that did some contract work for me on my radio show, and she came down with virulent breast cancer, and everybody wanted to cut her breasts off and do the mastectomy. And she says, I'm not doing it. I'd rather die. So we hooked her up with some natural care people in Denver, and this was pretty well publicized on my show. She went through treatments with vitamin C injections and so forth, intravenous, and now guess what you can't do for cancer? Vitamin C intravenous injections.
Right.
Yeah, so it works. So they take it away from you because it's not poisonous chemotherapy that they make billions on.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges to spreading this awareness is that the extent of the collusion for a common, totally evil goal is hard for people to emotionally accept.
Well, here's the deal. You have to actually connect, even to make a small inroad with people, you're probably connecting a dozen data points. And you have to really try to make it simple to the new people, because a dozen data points is too much. And then people say, oh yeah, you're let me give you an example about how people respond. They'll say, you're a conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. I had a fellow professor one time. It was JFK's anniversary of assassination. And he says, what did you think about that? And I answered him, and he asked me a couple questions. And I said, well, Lee Oswald didn't fire a shot. And he goes, how do you know? I said, the FBI gave him a paraffin test that night, and it's accurate for 72 hours, and he didn't fire a gun. There were no nitrates on him. And he claims he was just a patsy, so I'm kind of believing that. And I said, and no one's been able to duplicate a shooting. And that's all I gave him. That's all I gave him. Something he could have easily gone and looked up. And he says, oh, Dave, I didn't know you were one of those conspiracy theorists.
Exactly.
And that's how people respond. If you need a dozen data points to tell a story, you're going to get people, their eyes are going to glaze over, and they're going to go, oh, my gosh, it's Mel Gibson, conspiracy theory movie. This person's loony. Tune them out.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually much easier if you operate that way, because you don't have to think very much. And you don't have to feel emotionally threatened either.
Well, not only that, and you're absolutely right. That does resolve you of independent thinking and independent responsibility. But the other thing that happens, it's the best PSYOP ever conceived. In 1967, the CIA came up with the term conspiracy theory to debunk anyone who went against the Warren Commission for the Kennedy assassination. That was the original intent. And they came up with the idea that no two people will ever get together to plan to do something bad.
Right.
And I remember, and I'm thinking, well, if that's your reasoning, well, then there could never be a bank robber.
Well,
or bank robbers.
Except for bank robberies, because in Popeye cartoons, it showed that.
There you go. And so my point is, they took away the notion of of a conspiracy. Right. But, you know, my late friend Jim Mars used to say this on my show. He goes, you'd have to be a heck of a conspiracy theorist to believe this. Well, we are. But he said the other side has to be coincidence theorists. And Jim was absolutely right. And America thinks if they hear a conspiracy, it's automatically false.
Yeah. Well, as far as the coincidence theorists are concerned, that's really the basis of degenerative disease in medicine, you know, and also contagious disease. It's just bad luck. And, you know, besides you're too old and you've got the wrong genes and you ran into a really bad germ that was cruising around looking to hurt somebody.
And all the treatments we have are experimental and will be denied by insurance.
Yeah, of course, especially if they're not toxic.
You know, yeah, so, but I think to bring this back to the home plate here,
yeah,
what people need to understand is you are leaving the third industrial age and you are moving into AI. And I can't say what the future holds and how things are going to unfold. I'm just going to say this. My biggest advice right now is do two things. One, resist with everything you have because you have nothing to lose as far as these lockdowns and everything that's going on. Civil disobedience should be the command of the day. But the second thing is you have to have a fallback strategy, a rainy day strategy. You better be preparing, and I'm going to say this again, food and water. Okay, you're going to have to protect that with guns and ammo. Someday the crisis may fade and your currency won't be worth anything, so you better have some gold and silver that you can use, hide it, and bring it out when you need it. You need to have natural health care medicine because your ability to get prescription medication on an ongoing basis is now going to be threatened. Mm-hmm. And you better have some tools because things break. You better be self-reliant. You better form a community of like-minded people that support each other. If you do those things, you really enhance your chances for survival.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's really
important. And I would add one more thing, too. Pray for the Lord to come and end all this satanic nonsense.
That would be the best. I totally agree.
But I think we have to earn God's favor, and I'll tell you why. I know salvation is not earned. It's an admission. But I will say this. We're a nation that's killed 70 million babies, and we've been silent.
Right,
okay,
right,
we're
right.
Guilty. We're complicit in our silence. And that and other reasons, the rampant pornography, victimizing children sexually, I could go on and on, taking God out of the Pledge of Allegiance like the Democrats have done. I think God is saying, you guys are under judgment, but if you come at me the right way, I may not save America. I might, but individual salvation is still possible, and I think people need to think along those lines.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's... the bottom line is the whole spiritual aspect, and yes. and the country of America, even though the foundation of it was a fantastic idea, it's never been fully lived up to. It still could be, but up to now, there's been a lot of misuse of the military and other things, manipulating other countries that was totally criminal, and we're responsible for that as a country, but a lot can be overcome by turning things around, and when you talk about resistance and civil disobedience, which most people are too terrified to even think about, if you have a small percentage that are open to that, I mean, looking at what Gandhi did and other examples in history, what does that really mean when you look at what it looks like? What do you think?
I think it would be a major victory if we just got people to look at it. Just to face it.
To face the situation that we're in?
Yes. Yeah. I think, see, that's where I would start with the answer to your question. Self-awareness and general awareness are the goals of the alternative media. The problem is it hasn't worked very well. Maybe we've gone from, I don't know, 1% to 3% who are active, maybe 10% are aware. We haven't been terribly effective in our approach to raising awareness. And I think it's time that we step up our efforts, but at the same time, as I said earlier, plan B, adaptation, you better get ready. You better get ready to survive.
Yeah.
I'll put it to you this way. If Biden is elected as the puppet of the United States cabal, next year at this time, we will not be talking about saving our country. We'll be talking about the best places to hide.
Right, right. And in fact, both sides are actually looking at the solutions issue, because in order to block them, the people that are enforcing the breakdown have to know what they are. So one of the things they obviously think is really important is communication, you know, since so much effort is going into censorship right now.
Well, the internet's not going to be around much longer, not in the way we understand it.
Right, right.
They're going to take your platform down. They're going to take mine away. Our days are limited. Steve Quayle has a conference that I just recorded a podcast on demand for. And Steve is advertising Brace for Final Impact. It's the final warning. Mm-hmm. And he's real clear. He said, this is the last conference. There won't be one after this. Now, if Trump is reelected, I don't know. That's a big unknown. It'll mm-hmm. slow their process down. I think they'll hesitate to kill him, because I'm telling you, the backlash would be horrific. If they killed Trump, there'd be nowhere that a Nancy Pelosi or a Schumer or a Nadler could hide. There are people vindictive enough in this country and be mad enough, they'd go after him. They'd go after the bankers. They'd be hanging the bankers from the nearest lamppost. This is why they haven't killed Trump.
Well, if they could just leave Trump alive and neutralize everything he does, then he'd be a good scapegoat, right, too?
That's their strategy. Yeah, well, you just described their strategy. You know, Nancy Pelosi on February 24th tells Bay Area TV to come to Chinatown in great numbers. It's completely safe here.
I remember.
And now today she's looking back and said, oh, that's when Trump should have stopped air travel to China. It's his fault the coronavirus is here. Yeah. I mean, this is an example of what you just said. Blame Trump, okay, for the problem.
And they know, thanks to entertainment and fake education and fake science and all that, most people will just blindly obey and believe whatever the current TV story is.
Well, let me give you an example how far the satanic agenda has advanced. There are now teachers on record who have said, and they're trying to, in one school district, in I believe it's Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I think it's Coeur d'Alene. I might be wrong on this, but mm-hmm. one district is actually making parents sign an agreement that they won't view their child's online segments. And
wow,
for good
I didn't
reason.
Know that. Wow.
Yeah, oh yes, this is becoming a very popular notion. I've seen it in Pennsylvania, Idaho, and in California. There was a lady teaching a ninth grade English class, and she wore a shirt that said, "I can't breathe." On the podium, and the parents went nuts. They complained, called the paper. This went viral. Now this woman can't go home because she said she's been threatened, her daughter's been threatened, and she can't afford a hotel, telling the hard luck story. But this is how your kids are being propagandized against America. They're also in California, I'm sure you know some of the education items in their curriculum. Uh-huh. The kids are forced to learn about the legitimacy of transgenderism,
right.
That you can have no moral standards when it comes to your sexual behavior. There's an encouragement of fact, actually, there's a bill for this in the California State Assembly to lower the age of consent for sex.
Right.
So this is how parents don't realize how their kids are being victimized by these rogue school districts and the betrayal from legislators, that they're putting even the kids at risk. I mean, this is a total satanic revolution. Yeah. When you're teaching six-year-old kids about methods of masturbation, that's about as evil as it gets.
Well, they also tell them how to change sexes, you know, that they're probably the wrong gender and they should start taking chemicals or having surgery right away, and they don't have to consult the parents.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of funny. I've been a nonstop talking machine here because you hit some of my buttons, but we've only scratched the surface. We'll have to do this again, but I have to go be on another interview here shortly.
Well, I want to make sure and tell people how to follow all that you're doing. And, you know, the name of your show is an indication of how important it is. Common Sense.
Yeah.
If that were brought back, none of this stuff would be going on.
That's true. You don't need a PhD. You just need to have some common sense. Well, we have a website called thecommonsenseshow.com. We're on radio, Global Star Radio Network, Red State Talk Radio. KYAH is our flagship station for all our affiliates.
Okay.
And we now have a TV show. In fact, your producer, Doug Diamond's been on, did a great job. The Common Sense Show .tv, most inexpensive, but I think we get the best guests on there, or some of the best guests on there. And I tell people to check it out, the Common Sense Show .tv, 7-day free trial. So they get to take it for a test drive.
Neat. Sounds great. And you're also still at the moment, you have thousands of videos on YouTube.
For the moment, you notice I'm not popularizing that right now because, yeah, they had me down for a day yesterday. No explanation. I'm back up. They've demonetized me. Now, actually, people I'm working with think that this was an AI mistake, but I can't get YouTube's attention. So,
are you on some non-censoring platforms for video, too?
No, that's pretty much it. Well, I am. Okay. The Common Sense Show .tv. We're into Roku and Google TV and Web TV and all the usual suspects. Okay. But the platform, the Common Sense Show .tv, we own that and no one can ever touch it. So everybody else can censor us, but we still can broadcast on that platform.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't want to keep you. I didn't want you late for your next appointment, but that was great.
Well, thanks for having me. It was great being here.
Yeah, I hope you'll come back soon, too.
There's I would be happy to. More.
That was Dave Hodges of thecommonsenseshow.com. Good website. I was just there. And at the moment, as we said, or as he said, he's got amazing number of videos on YouTube. He doesn't seem to be too confident that they'll be there very long, but it's like thousands and thousands. It's amazing. He's putting out so much content, and he's got this new TV show that he just mentioned, the commonsenseshow.tv, which I didn't know about, so I need to go look at it, and maybe you'd like to as well. I just consider people like Dave Hodges is doing incredible work for America and the rest of the world. I know a lot of you are listening from other countries. We're all in the same boat, basically, and just different versions of it, and what's going on in places like Australia and New Zealand, having been chosen for the forefront of checking out new levels of tyranny, which I'm sure they're going to be fair and share with the rest of the world very shortly, or at least that's the plan. Everybody's got the same issues, and it's like it's really inconvenient and threatening to try to not comply with all this stuff, and they're trying to show you never think of not complying, because people who don't comply get beat up by police that are willing to do anything for a paycheck, I guess. And if you're in the police, you need to rethink that, because get in touch. Is there a point you wouldn't go beyond for money? I mean, I don't know what context you want to put that issue in, but it's not very good karma. It's not very good, sowing seeds for the future, you might say. So become aware that there is so much corruption in authority and government and corporations now, and government and corporations have basically merged, which is the essential definition of fascism. You know, the people who are paid rioters in the streets right now, I bet you most of them don't have a clue what fascism actually is. And what it really is when governments and corporations come together. It's like what Mussolini called, I think was corporatism was the word that he used. And it's where there may be restrictions on a government, like in a constitution or other foundational papers and things like that, but they were never written against corporations. So the government can say, well, you know, we didn't shut down free speech. It's that private company over there, you know, big tech or social media or things like that. And that's the strategy they're using now. So I think it's a good time to support non-censoring platforms and, you know, all the one. In fact, some of the major platforms are censoring all links to the good non-censoring ones now. So we need to support those. And I think Dave's recommendations for preparedness are good. It's late, but it's not as late as it's going to be later. So if all you get is water, I mean, that's way better than having nothing to drink. And you can get, if you have to get it out of the tap and maybe put it through a gravity type filter to get the chlorine and fluoride out of it, because you don't need poison in the water you drink or bathe in, and have some of that in a safe, maintainable storage that it doesn't get contaminated, and storable food. There's some really good sources that we've mentioned before on censorship, as to the point where if I mention that main site where it's available in a week or two, we'll disappear off the air immediately. And I try not to do that and still give you information, but try to put a reference on our website. You can still get good quality storable food, and we'll put something on the website about that. And most people can't afford gold. If you can, that's great for large transactions. Silver is more within the reach of the average person, and especially junk quarters and dimes and things like that can be used for smaller transactions. Junk silver, meaning silver that's not a special, you know, super valuable year of mintage, just anything like, you know, bags of old quarters and things like that, which are before the early 60s, when 64, I think. Check that, but back before the year when they switched out off of silver. Those are still good barter items for sure, and everybody recognizes it if it's the official currency, like old U.S. quarters, things like that. But anyway, all of his suggestions were great. If you have an opportunity that just comes up to get out of the big city, that's usually a really good idea too, if it's into a good situation, that you check it out in detail before you move there, of course. But those kind of things are good efforts to do, whatever degree of it you're still able to take care of. So we'll have Dave back if he'll come, and I think he will. And we're trying to give as much usable information for now as possible. Hopefully not everybody will go along with the really destructive measures that are going to be asked for. And a lot of people are leaving the states controlled by complete, you know, insane governors that think it's their big chance to basically destroy and enslave everybody below them. Even some of the states that looked like they were ruled by good governors, like Texas, for example, the governor is showing what they're really like right now. So we have to kind of play it by ear. Don't jump from a bad situation into a worse one, really. Check out things. Take care of yourself. Learn how to get your health back as much as you can. You know, as I mentioned during the show and the conversation with Dave, real health information is violently suppressed in the U.S. and most of the world now. So learn everything you can about that. You can certainly do that on your own. There's a lot of good material available. Or you can join us in planetaryhealingclub.com. That's the portal to our private group where we get to talk about all that stuff, and I share all the research work that I've done since the 60s on that and tools to make it easier and related world events and a lot of different interesting things that I can't totally go into here. That's at planetaryhealingclub.com. Also, if you want to help us stay on the air, we don't have any commercials flooding money into us or any big donors or anything like that. We have a lot of small ones, fortunately. If you want to be one of those, or if you've got the means to do more, it would really help us stay operating and hopefully build the school that we're trying to build right now, too. And if you want to donate a small or large amount, go to lostartsradio.com, and there's a donate button there, lostartsresearchinstitute.org. That's our nonprofit that runs everything. And then our Subscribestar channel is subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. Any of that would be very much appreciated, if you have the resources, of course. The other thing is you can subscribe to us on Brighteon if you're not already watching on that platform. It's a non-censoring platform that we have been using for a while, thanks to Doug posting everything there. And that's brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. I think that's about it. We have shows like this every Sunday night, as long as we can keep that going. And then Saturday afternoon, we have Lost Arts Radio Live, which is usually about current events, things that are related to that. Sometimes there's somebody else there, usually just you and I, and really relevant to what's happening right now. And then we have the Planetary Healing Club meeting right after that for the people that want to get into it on a deeper level. I think that's about it. So thanks for spending the time with us. I hope you enjoyed getting to hear from Dave Hodges, and check out the commonsenseshow.com and commonsenseshow.tv also. It's a lot of good stuff there. And nice to be with you, and I'll see you again here next time. Take care of yourself.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest new selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
Cyberspace, it's all over the place, got control of the human race. Big Brother, he's watching you with the click of the mouse. He's in your house, he's in your phone, right there with you, wherever you go.